Begin after six taps. One, two, three, four, five, six.
All right. Welcome to the FlixWise podcast, man. I'm your host and designated driver, Lady P. And joining me once again is repressed scholar, Andy Tice.
Yeah, hello.
And paddle-wielding neighborhood bully, Miss Emma Gerard.
You're dead.
On today's show, we've got another submission to the FlixWise favorites list. As you know, we're doing a series of submissions based on our favorite teen comedies. Today's submission comes courtesy of Emma, who will be submitting Richard Linklater's 1993 teen movie classic, Dazed and Confused. All right, Emma, take it away.
Okay, well, Dazed and Confused takes place over one day, specifically the last day of school in 1976 in a small town in Texas. It follows different young people at different stages in their lives, some entering their freshman year in the fall, some finally old enough to lead the town's annual hazing rituals, and some just working for the city, thinking about going back to school. As they wait for the school day to end, participate in a cat-and-mouse game of corporal humiliation, drive, smoke, contemplate where their futures may lead, smash mailboxes, and try to organize a kegger after the big end-of-the-year party is canceled. There are several stories in the film, so I'm going to keep it brief and not summarize them all, but because the movie is really told as a series of vignettes. I think director and writer Richard Linklater opts not to depict a world where jocks are jocks and geeks and never the twain shall meet, but rather shows how many lives in a small community meet in brief glimpses, all under the haze of nostalgia, maybe a little bit of bong smoke. I think it also might be worth mentioning that is the follow-up to Linklater's first, I think it was his first full-length movie, was Slacker, which is told as a series of vignettes, but actually doesn't sort of cycle through and show a bunch of subplots like this one does. And also that this might be cheating in including it in our list of teen movies because it really isn't like most teen movies.
Right. But I think that's kind of why I want to talk about it and maybe include it on our list because it does feel like an anomaly. But that's kind of what makes it feel really special. Anyway, so Emma, why did you want to talk about Dazed and Confused?
Okay, well, when we first presented the idea that we were going to do our favorite teen movies, the ones that I thought about were stuff like Pretty in Pink and Clueless and Mean Girls, where they all kind of resemble each other in that they're these really stylized kind of comedies that depict high school in a certain way. But I feel like none of those depictions are really anything like I felt being a teenager was really like. I think that Dazed and Confused is one of the few realist movies about teenage life. I think that the characters in it are treated like human beings and that the sort of moments in that their lives are not supposed to be this sort of separate capsule from the rest of their lives where they become upwardly mobile or whatever it is that they do. It's really about a small town and a community of young people.
Yeah. No, I think that's that. This movie, more so than any other movie, including Heather's, bears the most resemblance to my life as a teenager. And I think that's
you're revealing a lot right now here. Wow. Which character?
Probably the guy who wants to, the Adam Goldberg character.
Oh, okay. The guy who shouldn't have been in the movie.
You didn't like him?
No, I liked him.
Okay. Andy, what do you think of Dazed and Confused?
Oh, I like it a lot.
Okay.
Even though the story is very Slacker-esque in that it's just following these people as they go about their day on the last day of school. Why did I like it?
Yeah.
I thought the camera work was great.
Mm-hmm.
The stories were interesting. The people were likable.
Okay.
It's just an easy movie to watch.
Okay. But you didn't think Adam Goldberg belonged in the movie?
He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. Then he gets in a fight and that's it.
Yeah. But that's he feels emasculated and then tries to do something about it and it ends disastrously. I think that's a perfect piece of this.
Yeah.
This mosaic, if you will.
Okay. I just like I like loose ends tied up. And we never found out.
No, we don't know what happens to any of the people in this movie.
My only problem with him is I'm just like, how did you happen in this town in Texas? Like, who let Woody Allen's kid into this school?
That's true.
But I felt like I was born and raised in Los Angeles, California. And it wouldn't be totally unheard of for me to have access to Woody Allen films and even, you know,
films that Woody Allen, even Bergman films and Godard films, I still felt really isolated, and I still felt like most people didn't relate to my interests.
You were above them.
I was.
That's how you but, felt, right?
Well, not at all. I felt it made me feel really isolated. Okay. So I appreciated his presence in the film. Hopefully there are people throughout the country who, especially nowadays, do have access to these movies and do have access to this reading material and do have an interest in these more intellectual pursuits. But he does kind of feel out of place. Maybe they should have given him an accent. But should we talk about specific characters that we particularly liked? Emma, who did you have any favorites?
I don't really have a favorite. It's like definitely an ensemble movie. Mm-hmm. I think that's what I like about it. Yeah. Also, is I don't think I feel like a lot of love for people, and this movie makes me feel like warm and fuzzy, and that it's like it feels like a real group of friends.
Right. Yeah. Andy, how about you?
I put myself in the role in when I'm watching this movie of that small the teenage boy, the 14-year-old boy. What was his name? Do we know?
Like a million times. Yeah.
The guy who touches his face all the time.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, what would I do in that situation? And it would have felt really cool to be taken care of by these seniors and sort of being, and I don't even know why, just the guy started being nice to him. He saw something in him and brought him up. That's how I felt in my career. They saw something in me. They bring me on to a project.
Yeah.
So I relate to him. If it was me at that age, I would have ran away crying. But but I would have liked to have believed that I could have hung with those people.
Yeah. So Emma and I were discussing the movie prior to the podcast, and Emma said something about how the Linklater doesn't treat this time in their lives as being precious, that it is just simply depicting a moment in time. Yeah. Do you want to talk about that a little bit more, Emma?
Yeah, I mean, it seems that everybody's role in this movie isn't that they are supposed to go to school and go to prom and do whatever it is that high schoolers think. It's like that it shows continuity through everybody's lives. Like, it kind of shows that there's, you know, like there's these older guys hanging around who already graduated, and there's the freshmen who haven't even entered the high school yet, and they all interact together. They all get arrested by these cops at the end who obviously went to the same high school that they did and know them.
Yeah, and one of the things I really appreciated about the movie is the fluidity between the classes, and the popular people do interact with the so-called geeks, or what the geeks in this movie, because that's what popular people do. That's what makes them popular, is that they're charming. It's not that they're mean and they rule and then they're popular because it's been, you know, dictated from on high. They're popular because people like them. And I think that's what a distinction that this movie has that most teen movies do not. And I think I really appreciate that the movie understands that. And another thing I love about this movie, as I mentioned, the Adam Goldberg character is one of my favorite characters, because in most teen comedies, the geeks are depicted as mouth-breathing, you know, skim milk swilling, like, you know, Trekkies. Yeah. And in this movie, the geeks are the budding intellectuals, and I really appreciate that. And while I'm sure they probably could engage in a Star Trek discussion, I mean, who can't? They could probably also discuss other things and have other interests. And also, they like to drink beer and they can hold their liquor. And they don't start molesting people the first chance they get.
Wait, time out. What about this whole smack the kids' butts?
Well, the bullies are still bullies. There will always be bullies.
Oh, but the popular.
The popular people, right. Yeah. And I like that the most popular person in the movie, Pink, played by, I think, Jeremy London, he doesn't really engage in that because he's likable. He's thoughtful. And I like that it shows teenagers as being thoughtful.
Yeah, which, that's new.
Yeah, it is
different,
new.
Different.
Yeah. You know, while there isn't a Star Trek discussion, there is a pretty lengthy Gilligan's Island discussion.
That is true. So. Yeah.
And not by the geeks.
Yeah, that was a little weird, wasn't it?
I don't think it was weird.
No, it was the geeks, wasn't it?
No, it was the pretty girls at the beginning. Why do you? I think that's weird. I've never talked to a girl about Gilligan's Island.
You think girls don't watch TV? Well, no, but this is also 1976, so right. There wasn't a lot of other TV to talk about.
True.
Yeah.
And I also that they like they don't act like they're just total ditzes about it. Like they talk about the problem of it being the male fantasy of the right. two hot girls stuck on an island with these like loser dudes.
Yeah.
It. I felt the movie was kind of a negative portrayal of women, or that it
really?
Wasn't. Treating them all that well. You didn't see that?
Interesting.
They were a lot of the women in this movie, you know, they were mean to the young girls. Mm-hmm. And the guys sort of gave the young girls a pass in general, except for the one guy who was kind of sexually inappropriate, but they're just sort of there. And the guys all have long hair like girls. So it's like this movie is full of women. Yet they
all look like women. Jeremy London, certainly.
I think that kind of aspect of like girls being mean to each other is like sort of a reality of teenage women's lives, though. I think it's learned behavior. I think it's
right.
You know, sort of done as a survival thing.
Right.
And
yeah.
I mean, I think it's something that's like taught to us in a, you know, society that doesn't treat women equally, for sure.
Right. I think the Parker Posey character, she's sort of the queen bee, and that queen bee trope exists for a reason. It does happen in real life, but I think she's just really strong-willed, has a big personality, and the other girls sort of reluctantly go along with whatever she does. But even at the end of the hazing ritual, they still all go off and hang out, and it's a good time, and most of the girls are pretty nice. But it's interesting. It is a male story. It is told by a man from a male perspective. There's no question about it. But I don't think that it was sexist. I don't think. I didn't get that impression. And I didn't think that
It seems more observational than like trying to like propagate that attitude.
Exactly.
It's saying like it's a problem that girls feel like they have to do this.
Right, exactly. Just as it's a problem that men feel that they have to bully younger, weaker men. I mean, it sort of exists among both sexes. And it's interesting how women torture each other and how men torture each other.
Differently. It's more mental with women and more physical with guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What did you feel about the Matthew McConaughey character? Did you think he wanted to date the redhead?
Absolutely.
Or was he just being charming?
I think he was both, but I think he's a sleazeball for sure, but I think he's a charming sleazeball. There's a reason he can get that redhead is interested.
Yeah.
Because there's something weird, oddly charming about him. Maybe it's the accent. I don't know.
It's probably just because it's Matthew McConaughey.
It's probably.
Yeah.
But at the time, I mean, I think this movie sort of made him a star. And obviously there's something to that performance. There's something to that character. And when I remember seeing the preview, and they, of course, have the line in there, "That's what I like about these high school girls, man. I get older, they stay the same age." And I remember seeing that in the trailer and being totally repulsed.
Yeah.
And then I saw it in the movie. I'm like, oh.
It works.
Why does that work? I'm still not sure.
But it's the same as, like, you've probably known someone like that who's, like, kind of a skis ball, but they're just, like, so super charming that you can't help but like them either.
Yeah.
Like, you always, like, know someone who seems like a good person that just doesn't do good.
Right. Yeah.
While we're on the subject of women.
Yeah.
I don't know if you noticed this, Emma. I'm almost positive you didn't. There's a girl in this movie that resembles Lady P.
Is that right? Who?
She's a supporting character. she pops up here and there. Her character name was Julie Sims.
Julie Sims.
And her real name was Catherine Morris. And she's in the pool hall. She's also she's like helping out at the beginning.
Is she the one who goes, "Oh, they sold it to you"? No.
She's the one who gets Ben Affleck outside. She talks to the other girls are walking by, and he's like, "What?" And then.
Clearly, I need to rewatch just to see if I really do resemble this girl.
She has lighter hair and she has blue eyeshadow. I've never seen you wear blue eyeshadow.
No,
but maybe in 76 you would.
Definitely. but I want to talk about also, this is, as we mentioned, directed by Richard Linklater. And I wanted to sort of talk about what he brings to the movie. And Richard Linklater is a director I'm really fond of. I think even in his more commercial movies, I think he does a great job.
I agree.
And so, but I think it's sort of unfairly, I think that he is written off because people have said he doesn't have a unique visual style. But I wonder if we can sort of refute that. I think that there are a lot of really interesting stylistic elements in this movie. Emma, did you want to mention anything in particular?
Yeah, it seems like there's a lot of kind of longer tracking shots that there really are, yeah. define this movie to me.
Yeah.
I like when they're going up the water tower. Yeah. Like, that one's really cool.
Yeah.
Like, how he can, like, kind of pack a lot of different things going on into, like, one scene.
Right.
Because, which, it's kind of necessitated by all the characters.
Right, yeah. And in our previous episode on teen movies, we discussed Heathers and 16 Candles, and there we get a lot of close-ups, and the editing sort of drives the action, whereas... as Richard Linklater's style is more observational. And I think that really serves to set this movie apart. And I think it's really interesting. And I think that's true of most of his movies. And I obviously we're not here to mount a defense of Richard Linklater, but I think it needs to be said. I think he is an auteur, and I don't think he should be dismissed because I like almost all of his movies.
Same here.
Yeah.
I really saw a relation to Slacker in this movie, definitely, because it's following one day, and there's those long tracking shots just like in Slacker, and they're following the action and they're moving on to something else.
Yeah. So Emma, was there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, did you want to talk about how this is different from a lot of teen movies, but it does use this familiar device, which is that it all takes place over one day.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so we can compare it to movies like even 16 Candles or Can't Hardly Wait, or what are some other really great, American Graffiti. And I think this is certainly my favorite of that structure, of that, you know, taking place over the course of one day.
It doesn't show everybody's lives changing forever, though.
Right, which I love. I love that about it. It really is just a snapshot of one day, and it doesn't pretend to be anything else. The characters that he establishes, these people will grow and they will become different people, but I think he captured something about what it's like to be a teenager. And I, even watching this movie now, I remembered the sense of freedom you had on the last day of school, and yeah. You felt like you could just, when you're driving with your friends, you felt like, I don't know, nothing really mattered, and you could destroy personal property and there would be no consequence.
Wow.
I don't remember us doing a lot of that.
Nobody shot at us. Yeah. But city life is different.
That's true, yeah.
Are we going to discuss Ben Affleck's character?
I think we should, yes.
Also, is like, it seems like, you know, like how you see actors like doing similar like roles over and over again, and it just seems like coincidental. It seems like Ben Affleck is often playing this like cruel guy who goes way too far but gets his comeuppance like big time.
Yeah.
Like, it makes me think of Mallrats a lot.
Oh. Yes. Well, it's funny because...
Shannon Doherty on that.
Yeah, I feel like there's post Good Will Hunting Ben Affleck and pre Good Will Hunting Ben Affleck, and I kind of like pre Good Will Hunting Ben Affleck a little better. I miss the bully, the kind of hapless idiot.
He's good at doing that, though. Yeah.
I mean, I guess now he's revealed himself to be like the sort of thoughtful, I don't know, middle brow, sentimental director. But
You don't like that.
He's all right, you know, but...
He's cashing in.
Yeah, but I sort of miss the Dazed and Confused Ben Affleck.
But I think it's cool that, like, he's, like, a very famous actor and a lot of people really like him, but, like, I think you can, like, kind of forget who he is and really hate him during this movie.
If there is a bad guy in this movie, it is certainly Ben Affleck. But there are a lot of people who went on to be very famous, as we mentioned, Matthew McConaughey, Ben Affleck, but also Parker Posey, mm-hmm. who I love, and Mila Jovovich, yeah. who, if we do induct this into the FlixWise favorites list, this will be her second appearance.
Wow. What was the first, as a recap? What was it?
It would be Zoolander.
Oh.
Katinka. So, yeah, clearly Mila is a FlixWise favorites just mainstay, and people are free to write in and suggest Resident Evil. I mean, I feel like her chances are good.
What was that one she starred in with Bruce Willis?
Oh, Fifth Element. Fifth That's Element. Right. That's
okay, right
one.
In for Fifth Element. Well, wait. What's his name? Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
Now, so if I'm remembering correctly, he is like almost 19, isn't he? Didn't he redo like? Didn't he? Isn't
is he
the
like? Did he hold him back a year?
Isn't the implication that he's slightly older than everyone?
It was unclear if he was held back or if he had already graduated, but he's still hanging out because he was on the football team, so he still gets to participate.
Okay.
Flogging.
Didn't it seem kind of weird that he really wanted to beat up 14-year-old boys?
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And I love that the bullies are pathetic. That's. I feel like that's important.
Yeah.
They're
pathetic in a believable way.
They're trying to do something inside themselves to make them feel better.
Right. And it's clear what his motivation is and why he's there and why he gets off on beating up little kids. And the audience understands that, and we understand that he needs to be taken out.
Or he's going to end up being a cop in the town.
Exactly. Yeah.
Now, I guess we'll give a little bit of cinematic liberty to that scene where he gets paint on him, but I think he would have moved a lot quicker. Like, after the first drop, I probably would have stepped at
least
two
steps. Oh, in that shirt? Definitely.
Yeah. Should we talk about the outfits? Because they're pretty fantastic.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, and outfits are really important for a likable teen movie, and so is the soundtrack.
Yes. Though, so do you like the soundtrack?
I do like the soundtrack.
Okay.
Awesome. I'm not a super big classic rock fan, but I think it's a good
compilation. It really fits with, yeah.
I still don't get why anyone like was that into Kiss.
Yeah.
Someone, and I'm open to someone explaining it to me. I'm not just like
they
dismissing
still are.
This.
Kiss, it's huge. Yeah. And what's happening now is some of the older fans are saying, "Look, I'm a Kiss fan from way back. Look, I've always been a Kiss fan.
I was
even
into
though Kiss
before it was cool.
There you go. Kiss was cool, then they went away, and now they're cool again.
Thank God." I don't understand it. I have to say, I feel like the soundtrack really works in the context of this movie, but I'd never want to listen to the songs by themselves. Like, putting on this soundtrack on a road trip just seems like a nightmare. Sorry, Andy.
The soundtrack you're listening to is what created the music you listen to today.
Maybe.
It influenced it. And guess what? It was influenced by Kiss. More than you know.
What do I listen
if
to?
If they hadn't been sitting there singing "I Want to Rock and Roll All Night" for like 7 minutes straight, maybe we wouldn't have dance music.
That's true. that's a bit of a stretch, but
no,
we'll go with it.
No, I think she's right.
All right, so are we ready to vote on Dazed and Confused? Andy, what do you think?
I really like the movie. I don't know if it belongs on the list, though.
Okay, why not?
But the movie was really good.
Okay, but why don't you think
what's the criteria? Is it teen?
It's pretty... Okay, so we're trying to figure out the cream of the crop as far as teen comedies go. And do you think this stands out among the teen movie genre?
Yes. Yes. Okay, let me restate that.
I think it was important that I established the criteria.
Okay, all right.
So that was good. So, Annie, given that criteria,
yes,
do you
definitely.
Think it deserves...
As a teen movie, yes, definitely. People can relate to some character in the movie, and they can relate it back to their high school life in some way.
Okay. Emma, I know you presented this, so obviously it seems to go
I also feel like it's a must-see. Like, if you're going to sit through all these teen movies, I feel like you should at least give this one viewing.
Exactly. And I'm going to agree with both of you and say, yes, it definitely deserves entry into the FlixWise favorite list. So, yay!
Yay!
We got consensus. That's awesome. And that's the way we frame it, FlixWise, that is. Do you think Dazed and Confused is one of the greatest teen comedies ever made? Let us know on our show page, FlixWise.com. You can also leave us a comment on Facebook at Facebook.com/FlixWise. You can follow us on Twitter at FlixWise. But again, if you do nothing else, please subscribe and rate us on iTunes. And maybe even leave us a comment if you feel so inclined. We will be forever grateful. Also, if you have a movie you'd like to submit to the FlixWise favorites list, just email me, info@flixwise.com. Give me a brief synopsis of the film you'd like to talk about, and why you think it deserves to be included on our list. Next time we're back to the Sight and Sound Critics poll with Robert Bresson's Alhazard Balthazar. But until then, we're off to go buy some Aerosmith tickets. man.
Dude looks like a lady.
Yeah. Ugh, the 70s.